Hello.
I pet a baby cow this weekend, but stuff still happens.
So what's up?
Okay, state folk, which way are we going? Before I get to the general stateside stuff, I want to talk about a poll that's currently circulating showing that Republicans are souring on the direction of the country. AP NORC had a poll, and that poll showed that Republican sentiment about if this country's going in the right direction dropped dramatically this month. Like from 70% to like 49%, like a huge drop in sentiment. So what caused this? Are they turning on Trump? Probably not, but I want to talk about this for a little bit because it's interesting. There's fractures, but it's not an about face. It's fair to assume, since this drop happened pretty recently, that it was in part impacted by the Charlie Kirk assassination. There are a lot of people who are white conservatives that don't pay much attention to the news, who saw that the news is showing that someone who looks a lot like them just got shot in the neck. A person who looks a lot like them and says a lot of the things that they say got shot in the neck. Now, a lot of people get shot in a lot of places all the time in this country, but rarely is it a white conservative talking head getting shot on video in HD. So there's that aspect of it, but there's also the massive crackdown on free speech that's been coming from the White House ever since the assassination. An obvious example of this is the Jimmy Kimmel situation, where he got pulled off air for a very tepid statement. I want to be clear that I don't care about Jimmy Kimmel. I don't at all. But his statement was that the MAGA world is working overtime to paint the shooter of Charlie Kirk as some leftist extremist. That was the statement. That was the thing that got him taken off air. They're claiming that was like hate speech or something. It is now that I will point out that a recent report came out showing that the Fed has made no link between the shooter and any leftist group whatsoever. So that was just the truth. But it doesn't matter. He got pulled anyway. And of course, immediately Democrats were like, ah, my Kimmel. But Republicans were not uniform in their response. There was plenty that are cheering on the move and like, yeah, the White House should absolutely go after people that I don't like personally. But others actually seemed to remember that free speech and not having a government chilling speech is actually part of their platform. And they were like, I don't know how to handle this one. The White House is now trying to crack down on the left, talking about rooting out left-wing terrorism, which isn't a thing in this country. So now this is just my opinion, but with everything that's going on, with the vitriol, with the response from the White House, with the assassination, with the heightened tensions, I think even Republicans are like, what the fuck is happening here? In interviews with Republican voters about the subject matter, they talked about a variety of things, mostly stuff like the economy and how they can't get a job, or how they feel like there's a lot of violent rhetoric going on and just anger and we're at each other's throats, which is, I mean, the president's fault to a degree. Like, obviously it's not just him, but the guy spends every single day railing against people while fucking up the economy. I think they're a little annoyed by that. So yeah, we've got like an administration that's trying to crack down on free speech, that's using the death of some dude as a reason to go after people. The economy is bad, the job market is bad, public health is bad, public mental health is inaccessible. Birth rates are low, public safety is low, crime is on the rise. There's only so long that culture war, quote unquote, victories can keep people satisfied. Those don't feed the hungry. The Trump administration has already shown that they're willing to fire officials who put out a report that makes the government look kind of bad. And now they're getting rid of the annual report on hunger, citing that it's too overly politicized. This report being a key way that we can analyze what hunger and poverty looks like in the country. We're just gonna get rid of it. Legislating against trans people doesn't give healthcare to your elderly parents when they need it. Funding ICE more than most militaries doesn't make it so that corporations pay reasonable salaries. And multiple crypto schemes from the literal president of the United States of America doesn't ease housing market problems. At the end of the day, I want to remind you of this. There's a lot of people out there that want the same thing as you do. They want safety, security, and a future. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have the time or space or tools to learn how to effectively bring about that change. And so their dissatisfaction and lack of direction make them perfect prey for those who want to profit off of sowing division. There are absolutely bad actors out there, but those bad actors are dwarfed by people who just want to not be hungry tomorrow. And unfortunately, when people want to not be hungry tomorrow, they're willing to believe a lot of things that make them feel like they might not be hungry tomorrow. And so it's everyone's job to help make sure that we all know how we actually get fed, which is to say, eat the rich. Moving on, stateside. Still, the TikTok sale is happening, kind of, but it's not a sale, but it is a sale, and it's not going to do anything. A deal has reportedly been met about the acquisition of TikTok by U.S. agencies because national security, apparently. Oracle, Silver Lake, and A16Z, which are three giant tech investment firms, are going to have an 80% stake in the U.S. operations of TikTok. Oracle is going to be controlling user data, and they're going to lease the algorithm from China, whatever the fuck that means. It was apparently the algorithm that was the problem. You know, China was able to influence our national discussion or whatever. It's like a national security thing. And that is still just going to come from China, I guess. We really don't have a lot of information, so we don't actually know, but that's what the current reporting says. But it does look like a new US-specific app will roll out, and people on TikTok will need to move over to that if you're in the US. I don't have high hopes for this. Oracle is owned by Larry Ellison, and Larry Ellison is a massive Trump supporter and one of the richest people on the planet. He's basically Elon Musk, but you haven't seen him as much. Now, notably, this guy's son is now the CEO of CBS and Paramount. That makes the Ellison family, which is one of the richest families in the world, also one of the most influential families in media. They're working to put Barry Weiss, who is a massive quote-unquote anti-woke conservative journalist, as the editor-in-chief of CBS News. Now's a great time to subscribe to my newsletter if you don't do that already. We're waiting for the details. We don't exactly know how this is going to work, but as a reminder, don't ever put all of your eggs in one corporate basket when it comes to media. This is why I am everywhere. Like, this is why I have so many profiles, including places that I personally self-host, to have no worries about losing everything if a company goes shitty. So diversify. Thumbs up. Let's talk about Mississippi, where two different men were found hanging from two different trees on the same day, hours apart from each other. Mississippi has a long and very unfortunate history of lynchings. Even in modern day, there have been at least eight of them since 2000. And that's a severe undercount. But recently, two different men were found hanging from trees, both in Mississippi, within like 3 hours of each other. The first was Trey Reed, a black 21-year-old student of Delta State University who was found hanging from a tree. Initial reports were that he had broken limbs in addition to being found dead on the tree. Those reports were proven untrue. He did not actually have broken limbs. At least that's the data that we have now. But that doesn't change the fact that virtually immediately, authorities said, no foul play. This was a suicide. Before we knew anything else, they were already saying they didn't suspect foul play, which is what they do every time this happens. A few hours later, Corey Zucatas was found hanging from a tree. He was a white homeless man who we don't really know much more about. That investigation is also still ongoing. In Reed's case, the coroner has already declared it a suicide, but the family is rejecting that. A foundation by former NFL player Colin Kaepernick is going to be paying for a private secondary autopsy on Reed. This is obviously horrible. Like, we don't know what happened. We're not going to get good info. There's not an interest in getting that good info. But it's very difficult to ignore that right when we have this escalated sense of political violence, two people are found hanging from trees, one black and one homeless, two groups that are often targeted by conservatives. Quite literally, a conservative commentator on Fox News suggested that we should involuntarily euthanize homeless people. He still has a job, by the way. Last thing for stateside, let's talk about them H-1B visas. H-1B visas are used by companies to bring in foreign talent to fill in positions that otherwise are difficult to staff. Or at least, that's what they're supposed to be. In reality, H-1B visas are used a lot by the tech industry to hire on foreign workers to pay them significantly less than they would have to pay an American worker. They might just be paying them the lowest possible legal wage they can do to still use the visa, or they hire them at a position that's way lower than they're actually qualified for. They also then have an employee who's essentially beholden to them. They own that visa, and if the employee fucks around, they could just cancel the visa. So giant corporations love it, and especially big tech companies. They will get thousands and thousands of these per year. So what happened? Because it is still whack. Pretty much out of nowhere, Trump signed a proclamation that adds a $100,000 fee to H-1B visa applications. There was already a fee, but it was essentially trivial. Now it's $100,000. When this came out, there was not a lot of information. People were poring over it, and immigration lawyers were like, I don't know what to make of this, but it sure seems like people need to be on U.S. soil by midnight tonight or face a $100,000 reentry fee. Now, since then, the White House has clarified that that's not the case. These are only for net new visa applications. But that seems like the kind of thing that you should include in the original statement, you know? Like, maybe work through stuff just a little bit longer and, like, think about it. 70% of H-1B visas are awarded to Indian nationals, and India has made a statement basically saying, like, this sucks. India's higher education system focuses a lot on international job placement, so this is like a primary pipeline for them. And while I also believe that H-1B visas should be significantly overhauled, slapping a $100,000 price tag on them doesn't do a whole lot, especially when we don't really have a mechanism to even collect that money. And also, it seems like they put in a stipulation where they can just waive the fee if they feel like it, because of course they did. But ultimately, I don't think this is gonna bring jobs back. Like, they're just gonna offshore the jobs. H-1B visas are offshoring with less steps. Without that, they're just gonna offshore. It won't be until companies face actual penalties for pulling bullshit and screwing over American workers that they're gonna do something. But we'll never actually do that, because anytime we pass legislation that's gonna actually hold companies accountable, everyone's like, oh, but they're gonna move now. If we pass legislation, the companies who treat us like shit will leave. Darn. Oh no. Elsewhere, let's talk about a treaty of the seas. 60 different countries have signed on to a historic Treaty of the Seas, potentially saving them from catastrophic damage. Essentially, it's a treaty that says there's a bunch of international water that we really should protect if we want to keep having a planet in the future, so let's protect that. The treaty establishes zones that need to be protected from things like underwater mining and fishing and so on and so forth, and it's the first of its kind. A healthy ocean is really important for not destroying the planet from climate change. Like, the ocean sucks up a lot of CO2. And also produces a lot of oxygen, and is important. And while this is not some sort of like binding massive piece of legislation that's gonna really do a whole lot, it's at least a step in the right direction. It's gonna be on individual countries to actually enforce it and police the areas and such. But maybe they will? I can be optimistic. Notably, a few key players haven't fully agreed to it yet, the US, China, Russia, and Japan being those key holdouts. The US and China have like sort of signed on. Russia and Japan have kind of like looked at it, but hey, save the plankton. What's next? Oh dear. Brigitte Macron, the First Lady of France and wife of Emmanuel Macron. This is weird. She's gonna submit scientific evidence to a court of law to prove that she's a woman? This is where we are. Because apparently these are the only people that drive the news now. Candace Owens, a right-wing podcaster from the US, has been staunchly asserting that Brigitte Macron was born a male. This has been a thing that the right's been doing a lot, of just like taking pictures of women and being like, they're trans, because reasons. I genuinely don't know like why they do this. I can't think of a worse use of anyone's time. But where we are now is that the wife of a foreign national leader is going to submit evidence to a court of law to prove that she's a woman because of a podcaster and because of transphobia and because why is this happening? Anyway, fun fact, I was born a man. Sue me or something. Let's talk about urine and China. Two drunk teenagers from China decided to pee in some hot pot. Big old trough of broth. Urine. Anyway, they also recorded it and posted it on the internet, which brings me great joy. It makes me so happy to know that teenagers do dumb bullshit regardless of country of origin. So they got caught, and it kind of sucks for everyone involved. The restaurant in Shanghai where they peed in the hot pot had to make good by basically everyone who ate there for like a week. They gave them all refunds and paid out extra for like damages. They had to replace all their stuff. And now they have a shitty reputation for being the piss pot place. Now the teens were charged, but also their parents are being held liable for like failure to properly guardian their children. So that means the parents are gonna be held liable for the hot pot piss as well. Anyway, silly teenagers, don't pee in hot pot. That's fucking gross. Anyway, other note on China, as much as teenagers peeing in a hot pot is a pretty big fucking deal, it's also worth noting that China is eclipsing the rest of the world with their green energy rollout. In one fiscal quarter, China added more renewable energy than the entire energy grid of Turkey. That's a lot of capacity. Meanwhile, in places like the US, we are cutting back on wind energy because our leader doesn't like how windmills look, even though they're not even windmills. So anyway, maybe we should all just be pissing in the hot pot. Let's pop over to Israel, where Netanyahu is being a little too defensive. So I talked earlier about Charlie Kirk getting popped, and for whatever reason, Netanyahu has found it to be imperative that he makes it clear that Israel didn't do it. After the shooting, there was conspiracy theories circulating about Israel having a role in the death of Charlie Kirk, and not litigating that here, But it was so rampant that Netanyahu has made statements about it. Multiple of them. Multiple times. This guy has said Israel had nothing to do with Charlie Kirk's death. And then he went as far as to say that this conspiracy theory is being funded by Qatar, the place that they just recently bombed, despite being a U.S. ally. Critics have noted that Netanyahu was strangely loud about Charlie Kirk's death right when it happened. Like, before we had a lot of information, he was already posting about it. And then he goes on to be like, we didn't do it. But what's far more important than literally anything involving Charlie Kirk ever is that Israel recently killed 31 journalists in Yemen. On September 10th, they made multiple airstrikes against multiple newsrooms in Yemen, killing 31 journalists who were working on finalizing that week's newspaper. This is the second deadliest attack on journalists ever recorded by the Center for Protecting Journalists. And it's completely unacceptable. Israel is going for records with regards to killing journalists at this point, and it's fucked up. But at least we know that they didn't kill Charlie Kirk, according to Netanyahu. Hey, do you like what I do? And do you also want to help me keep doing it? If yes, thank you. You can head to isupport.dev to find links to a whole bunch of different ways to support me. And as always, just sharing my content helps a ton. So thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing it. Let's move on. Technology! NVIDIA bought a bunch of Intel stock. Intel has not been doing particularly great financially recently, and recently the government invested about $10 billion in purchasing Intel stock, and now NVIDIA is buying about $5 billion of stock. In doing so, they're announcing a partnership where NVIDIA and Intel will, like, cross-create chips to cross-integrate their technologies into both data centers and personal computers. What this really means is that it seems like the US is trying to position itself to better hold their ground on the semiconductor market. China just recently banned the purchase of AI chips from NVIDIA. That's not necessarily a one-to-one reason why this is happening, but other countries are catching up and we are falling behind. And it also doesn't really help that, like, we don't have a ton of manufacturing here, and a lot of our market value from a company like NVIDIA comes from speculation that AI is gonna matter in the future. Which it probably will, but is it gonna matter this much? Like, these kinds of moves are being discussed as national security. The continued success of NVIDIA and Intel are a matter of national security, which seems like a bad place to be. Colors. I see them, most of them. You know Jackson Pollock, the guy who does, like, the paint splatter paints? You know, the guy that makes the art that has everyone give the most tepid take ever of modern art isn't really art. That guy. So he has a really famous painting in the MoMA that they've wanted to figure out what he used as a pigment for a specific blue in the painting. Jackson Pollock did a lot of his work by just flicking paint at the canvas. And so a lot of the colors on his works are just single pigments. Knowing what pigments, like what specific pigments were used to create what colors, helps with things like, one, just art history, but two, preventing counterfeits. Historians thought for a while that this was manganese blue that he used, and they were right, that is what it is, but how they figured that out is rad. They took a sample from the painting, again, like lots of globs, so they took like a tiny little scraping of the blue, and they put it under a microscope, or they put it under a science object. They hit it with a bunch of lasers and then measured the vibrations in the molecules to create a unique signature for the pigment. They could then go and test that signature against other pigments, and wouldn't you know it, they were right. It was that blue. Fun fact, it's the same blue pigment that was used in pool floors. So if you were a person in the US between like the 70s and 90s, the concrete in a public pool, that blue, it's that same pigment. In that neat gaming. One of my favorite series is Horizon Zero Intellectual Property. Chinese tech juggernaut Tencent is producing a game called Light of Motiram. Motiram. I'm not looking it up, I don't care. In the promotional materials, it appears to be a game where you play as a sort of tribal hunter in a world inhabited by robot animals, and you play as a character who's like a redhead with a bow. This is completely different from the Horizon series, where you're a tribal hunter in a world filled with mechanical animals, and you're a redhead with a bow. So Sony, who makes the Horizon franchise, is pretty upset, especially because the marketing materials look identical. But Tencent has responded by saying no. They're trying to get a copyright on something that's far too specific. A world in which people are tribal hunters using bows to hunt down specifically mechanical animals that looks very specifically this one way. Now, I will say, the two do look very, very similar. But digging in a bit, it does seem like Tencent's game is pretty different from the Horizon series. Visually, looks very, very similar, and the promotional art looks incredibly similar, but keep in mind that stuff like this can be done on purpose to create these kinds of situations to get attention. Lightning round! After a decade-long search, researchers found a 140-year-old ship that was lost to a storm in Lake Michigan. And another boat, which might be found in 140 years, was sunk by orcas. A man died while riding a roller coaster at Universal Epic Universe. That's really sad. I also did not know that Universal Epic Universe was a park. That name is very bad. A man in the UK who was using Snapchat to prey on more than 40 children has been caught and jailed. A judge dismissed the terrorism charges against the alleged shooter of the United Healthcare CEO, Luigi Mangione. Those were the big charges that we kind of knew when they were originally levied against him that was not going to work. Like that was the state way overreaching. And finally for today, California has made it illegal for law enforcement officers to wear masks while performing their duties in a direct blow against the Department of Homeland Security and ICE. These federal agents have been wearing masks while going around detaining people, which isn't good at all. Hopefully more states follow through with this and hopefully actually enforce it. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and the location of yet another 140-year-old ship at the bottom of Lake Michigan. My name is Endeavorance. We'll talk again soon. Take care and be well.